You are listening to the first episode of the Bridge Commission Audio Walks, a new annual commission that marks the opening of the Serpentine Sackler Gallery. 12 internationally acclaimed authors have been asked to write short stories, lasting for the duration of the walk between the two buildings. You will be able to download a new story each month from the Serpentine Gallery's website, serpentinegalleries.org. At the end of the year, you will have a collection of new writing to add to the books you already own. This story was written by the Mexican writer Valeria Luiselli. It was read by Jenna Emerton. Valeria Luiselli is the author of the collection of essays Sidewalks and the novel Faces in the Crowd. The Bridge Commission audio walks are supported by Bloomberg.
Wait. Don't walk until I say so. I have to tie my shoelaces in a triple knot. There used to be a circle in the ground right here. And in it were the words, the beauty of trees, their cool shades and their aptness to conceal from observation, have made groves and woods the usual retreat to those who love solitude, especially to the religious, the pensive, the melancholy, and the amorous. The amorous meant people who mostly love each other. Once upon a long, long time ago, there were ducks, dogs, walkers, joggers, musicians, people kissing people, and instant picture posers. There were trees and their shadows, pebbles, cigarette butts, cracks in the tarmac, dog shit, and little grains of sand. Sometimes there were voices, and less often gusts of real wind and sudden laughter. Mostly young women laughter, high-pitched and loud, but also old man laughter, raspy and brief. And stray man's silent laughter, and schoolchildren chicken laughter, and mother and father bewildered laughter, and that's it. Over on the lawn, there used to be two giant rocks whispering to each other. They were called Fischli and Weiss. They whispered to each other in German and sometimes in French. There was also a big tree just here, with a sign on which an old man named Virgil wrote something. He didn't write it himself, because he was dead by the time the tree grew out of the ground, but I think he called someone and asked them to do it for him when the tree grew. It used to say, Ite domum saturae venit, Hesperus ite capellae. I don't know what that meant. You can start walking now. We'll head to the left and take my favourite route. Go slowly, okay? I've got short legs, and my shoelaces are always coming undone. Along there, on your left, stood a building called the Serpentine, where people stored different things. It was made of brick, glass, some wood, and many, many fingerprints. This building was the first thing to disappear. A young man called Dan Vore tore it apart and then took all the pieces away. Then another young man called Christodoulos Panayoto quietly removed the tiles that covered the ground surrounding the building, as well as all the electricity poles. Straight ahead, on your right-hand side, in that empty patch you'll see coming up, there was a structure called the Cloud Pavilion. People said it looked like a cloud inside a video game that suddenly freezes, but not in an annoying way. That was also taken, this time, by a scientist named Cantarell, who needed the glass for certain experiments called Tableau Vivant, where he locked people up in glass cages for eternity. Eternity means longer than usual. Right after that, others started taking the rest. Mr. Catalan took the animals, Mr. Durant unearthed the trees, Mrs. Margoyes took the ghosts, Mrs. Whitereed removed the space under the benches, Mr. Eliason took the sidewalks, and Mr. Elise moved the hill. I forget what happened to the rest, but they took the path and the road that stretched out beyond, then the bridge that crossed the river, and the river itself. Piece by piece, everything was taken apart, with the parts being sometimes large, sometimes small. The wreckage was gathered, packed, sometimes carefully folded, and then shipped off to faraway places. Upon the wasteland that remained, La Grande École des Excentriques was established. As you can see, there is no central structure, but a series of scattered pavilions and settlements, in which our students learn to become what they believe themselves to be already. Here on your right, sitting quietly around that long wooden table, are 100,000 new, young, promising American writers. They are here for a writing workshop, where they are learning how to create empathy without ceasing to be awkward, original, and authentic. That donut-shaped track that passes behind them is the periphery for ongoing polemics. This month, we have a French thinker giving ramble talks about the relationship between humour and eccentricity. He is engaged in the passionate battle against no one in particular, accusing them, no one is sure whom, of equating humour with fun. He believes that fun is overrated and must undergo thorough reconsideration. Together with his Ramble Talk students, he is developing a series of utterly boring humorous jokes, which is supposed to prove his theory by the end of the month. I'm skeptical. Skeptical means cynical and misanthropic. See that man over there, in a green uniform, pointing a gun at a student's head? They belong to the Russian avant-garde atelier. It operates on Soviet principles. That means they have to be strict. If a student fails, he is shot in the head. If he succeeds, he is shot in the foot. By the way, if you have to tie your shoelaces, you can always just stop. I don't mind. One problematic group of students here are the silent Hispanics. They live in these three tents to your left. The Argentinians, Spaniards, and Mexicans are always fighting for that microphone there, placed strategically in front of the tents. But once someone manages to get hold of it, they stand there, in silence, for hours. The Chileans constantly use the microphone to hold mute referendums, and the Cubans go in silent self-exile somewhere else. A few months ago, the group held a public lynching of a man upon whose back they had placed a piece of cardboard saying, "Typical loud, magical realist, non-eccentric clown." To be labelled a clown is, of course, the most extreme form of public ostracism in La Grande Ecole. One of my favourite settlements is the Bailey Theatre Group. Bailey was the author of many eccentric books and plays, including a version of Little Red Riding Hood. The students in this settlement are taught to stage degenerate versions of children's stories. Degenerate means overripe and deteriorated. That boy over there, walking towards us along the path, giving a tour like mine, he's my friend Roman Ondak. He's a platonic optimist. Notice, as he walks past us, how he only speaks in the future tense. He believes that La Grande Ecole will one day be a stronghold against our present banality and solemnity, and in it, eventually, real things will start substituting words in other empty representations of things. He also believes glam rock will have its long overdue comeback. The auctioneering workshop, here to your left, down on that platform, where the river used to be, is very popular too. Every day, an expert comes and performs an auction of undervalued objects, which, by the end of the session, must become overpriced. That's all. We've had several memorable auctions. A Japanese curator once brought a papaya that sold for 3,000 times its actual price. More recently, a literary agent auctioned a set of real teeth that used to belong to a famous writer. Another, less famous writer, bought them. This over here to your right is the medical centre. It consists of one nurse and one doctor who are working with a neurobiologist to find a cure for our students' fragility. They've recently discovered that fragility is directly proportional to fear of ridicule and are developing a treatment to invert the equation and put an end to that specific form of fear, which often takes hold of our students' souls and crushes their personality to pieces. Other important areas we cover in the programme are peculiarity in eating habits, fashion, rhetoric and syntax, gesture and gesticulation, overcoming sentimentalism and seizing melancholia, alternative religions and productive anxiety. There used to be another building, there, ahead of us, also called the Serpentine. I don't know why it was called the same as the one back there. I think it's because a snake is always a circle, even when it's not. Our graduation class is giving their final show there today, on top of that pile of debris. The name of the show is A Heap of Broken Images, and comes from a line of a poem written by one of our most famous teachers at the school. They will be performing before the school, and as a final grade, their peers will assign them a geometrical figure. A circle means eccentricity equals zero. A parabola means eccentricity equals one. A hyperbola means eccentricity greater than one. Naturally, everyone will be striving to get a hyperbola. Last year, a hyperbolic student told a heap of broken images about a man called Unamuno, who went to the store to buy hen's eggs. The story was like this. Unamuno didn't eat eggs, but his wife, who had a wooden leg, wanted to make an omelette and asked him to go to the store and buy some for her. She clearly asked that they be white and not brown eggs. Unamuno came back from the store with a paper bag full of brown eggs. Looking into the bag and noting the eggs weren't the colour she had requested, the woman shouted, "Stupid idiot!" and made him go back to the store for white eggs. This time, Unamuno went to another store where he found white eggs. When he returned to his house, he found his wife asleep on the bed. She had left her wooden leg leaning against the desk, as she always did during her nap. So, Unamuno placed the bag of eggs on the carpeted floor and, using the false leg, whacked her 6 times to wake her up. And that was it. We've come to the end of our walk now, but you are welcome to stay for today's show. Programmes are available upon request. Note the inscription beneath your feet. It says, "The beauty of trees, their cool shades and their aptness to conceal from observation, have made groves and woods the usual retreat to those who love solitude, especially to the religious, the pensive, the melancholy, and the amorous." The amorous means people who mostly love themselves.
Thank you for listening. For more information about the Bridge Commission audio walks, visit serpentinegalleries.org.